Now we're back on In Focus, News Radio KMAN. We're talking Oztoberfest. Darren Solden, Executive Director of the Wamego Area Chamber of Commerce, joining us here along with John Fricke and Hannah Emery, and talking about the history of The Wizard of Oz. And of course, Hannah plays Dorothy in the stage production, which I understand is almost sold out.
It sounds that way. It's getting close. So yeah, so the key is you want to go see the show. You've heard all about it. Got some great actors. Go to the Columbian Theater website, columbiantheater.com, or call the box office. Get your chance to grab your tickets. I know my family's headed there on Saturday night. Kids are all looking forward to a great show. So it really is a family show. So you can definitely take the kids along too. But jump online or call the box office. Get your tickets.
Tonight, tomorrow, or the Sunday matinee. It closes Sunday. Mm-hmm. That's the last chance.
Okay. Super. Well, and you know, obviously there's weather. It looks like we may have to deal with a little bit tomorrow, Darren. How is weather impacting Oztoberfest?
I'd love to share my expert meteorological opinion with you.
Jim Cantori of Wamego.
Absolutely. So we are a rain or shine event. There's a lot of our activities that go on inside, as John alluded to earlier. Looking at the weather forecast, looks like we should be good. I think maybe a few showers blowing through in the early to mid morning. But you know, we kick off right now. The schedule is to kick off with our ribbon cutting for our new yellow brick road sign. If you've not seen that, right out on Lincoln, where you enter into the yellow brick road, headed over towards the park, we've got a beautiful new sign that matches up nicely with the sign on the Oz Museum facade. And so that's a great new attraction. We're going to cut the ribbon on that at 10 o'clock. And then John's going to be out introducing on the red carpet our special guests right after that. So, you know, if we run into a little bit of weather in the morning, some of those events can get pushed inside. But I think by 11 o'clock, it looks like the weather's supposed to be through, and we're going to have a nice, sunny, beautiful day.
And there's lots of entertainment aspects to this whole thing this weekend.
There is. I mean, we've talked a lot about all the activities going on around the Wizard of Oz and the history and all of our special guests. You know, we've also got a ton of things going on out on the street and in the community. So Oztoberfest takes place down on Lincoln Avenue, which is Highway 99. But in the 400 and 500 block is really the key area. There's also a car show going on. That's over on Ash Street, so just a block to the east over along the edge of City Park. That'll be going on in the morning and early afternoon. I mentioned the yellow brick road sign ribbon cutting that's going on at 10 in the morning. Then, you know, one of my favorite parts of Oztoberfest are Oz character lookalike contest. And John can speak to that. He's had a chance to see him over the years. We've got people that come back year after year, whether it's Texas, Missouri, Iowa, all over the place, come back, and whole families that get dressed up in as their favorite Wizard of Oz characters. And we do a costume contest at noon. So you can come and get entered at that, and then do a Toto lookalike contest at 1 o'clock. And so those are really fun activities, great photo opportunities with all those folks. And I can tell you, I think Dorothy ends up being the most popular one to dress up as. So we have a lot of fun with that. But
there's no blue and white check gingham left within a 300-mile radius of Wamego.
it's put to good use. And yep. And so then we got barbecue contest going on during the day down in the 400 block of Lincoln. Again, a lot of craft vendors, various other vendors, both out on the street, also in Ironclad on the 400 block. So there's some indoor vendors there as well. And then finally, to kind of wrap the afternoon and evening up from 5 to 7, we've got the band Denims and Lace performing. We do a street dance. There'll be a beer garden open down in the 500 block. So that's a great way to finish off the evening. Maybe if you've been to the ball game in the afternoon, you'll come over and enjoy a little bit of the evening, listen to some live music. And then, of course, the Wizard of Oz production going at 7:30. So it's really a full day, and we'd welcome people out to Wamego.
And just for those people listening, that, you know, that's a lot of stuff going on. If they want to just kind of run it down, you have a website for that.
Absolutely. If you'd like more details on any of this, more information about schedules, biographies of our wonderful special guests, any of that, Oztoberfest.com is your place to go. So check out Oztoberfest.com. Also take a look at Wamego Oztoberfest on Facebook. So you can search that on Facebook, and there's a lot more information there as well that's been compiled here over the last weeks and months.
Oh, we were talking a little bit about the history of Wizard of Oz here a little while ago. You mentioned the red slippers, or the red shoes, being the iconic item here. There's some other iconic items in that film. You know, the bike that the witch drives at the beginning.
Well, the slippers, Dorothy's dress, the lion's costume, the witch's broom. There are several things that, you know, Jack Haley Jr., the son of the Tin Man, said he would have given anything to find the little funnel hat that his dad wore. But, you know, some things, MGM threw so much out in 1970. Not only they threw out all the production records for all their films. They threw out all of the old film, the nitrate film. They threw out all the music scores for all their films. They're in a landfill under a freeway in California. And then they auctioned the costumes and the props. That's when the first pair of ruby slippers went public. And since then, they have found some things. The lion costume was restored beautifully and sold for something like $3.2 million about 5 years ago. And anything that Ray Bolger's scarecrow costume, he got to keep. I guess MGM figured there wouldn't be any more scarecrow roles coming along, and he donated that to the Smithsonian, which is a lovely place to have it. I worked with them when they reconfigured or repaired the slippers last year, and got to see all of this kind of stuff. So yeah, the collecting is manic. And again, tomorrow morning at 10:30 at the Oz Museum, we're going to be revealing their latest acquisition. They do have a couple of Munchkin costumes from the film already, but this is another from another part of the film, and everybody will recognize it when they see it.
Oh, awesome. So you got to come out to check that out. That's going to be great. I love movie memorabilia. I think it's it's just so neat to see that. And it's a shame that they threw out all that stuff.
Well, and what they did, they had all the Munchkin costumes pretty much intact, all 124 of them, because, again, where were they going to use them? But they were all on a rack, all complete, pinned together, the hats, the shoes, the stockings, everything. And they weren't even auctioned. They were just rolled out on a rack with a lot of other things and sold for like $5, $10 a piece. And now if you could get a complete – I think there's only one known complete Munchkin costume in the world, and it's the Lollipop Guild kid from the middle, Jerry Marin. And the collector in Maine who has the biggest Oz collection in the world has that one.
You know, I'm always curious. My favorite character is the Tin Man. How did they do his costume in the original movie?
Well, it's funny because Buddy Ebsen from the Beverly Hillbillies and Barnaby Jones, if you remember those TV series, he was the original choice for the Tin Man. And they first made him a tin suit and said, okay, now dance in it. You're a Tin Man. And he said he almost, you know, altered himself. There's not a lot of give in tin if you're an eccentric dancer. So they made it of buckram, you know, fabric covered with silver paper. And that's how they created the costume. But in Buddy's makeup, it was clown makeup, white clown makeup, dusted with aluminum particles over and over and over, multiple times a day, and the particles would adhere to the makeup, and he'd be silver. Well, after 2 weeks of filming, he inhaled a lot of those particles every day, and they coated the inside of his lungs, and he had to be rushed to the hospital. He was off the film completely. They had to get Jack Haley to replace him. So then they moved, they put the aluminum particles in the paste so that they weren't flying around, but the costume, the makeup, the Tin Man, it was rough. And the lions was two lion skins sewn together and then padded out. And that weighed 75 pounds.
Oh, my goodness.
And no air conditioning in 1938-39. It was a rough picture to make.
Yeah, I imagine. Well, and little did they know it was going to be the success that it was. Obviously, the first film to be colorized.
Well, no, it was made in color. It was like the seventh or eighth feature film to be made in Technicolor.
Okay.
And but that was a process, too, because you couldn't just put the camera up in front and film. They had to have special cameras with three negatives running through them at the same time to make Technicolor. And Technicolor needed a lot of lights, real lights. They didn't have cool light. So Burt Lahr was fainting in his costume. They had to stop filming for fear the straw-thatched Munchkin roofs were going to catch on fire. There's all of this going on.
Man, interesting. It's so much fun to learn about the history. I'm glad you came out and shared
us. Oh, it's a privilege.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and people are going to get a chance to hear more about it all weekend. Lots of activities going on. Again, we'll just kind of remind when things get going for everyone.
Yep, we kick off at 10 o'clock Saturday morning, like I said, with the Yellow Brick Road, new Yellow Brick Road sign ribbon cutting. Activities begin right after that. John's doing some introductions, and as you can tell, I mean, John is just an absolute wealth of knowledge on this subject, literally the preeminent expert in the world. So come on out and learn more. I mean, what a great opportunity to get to spend a couple hours with John over the course of some of his presentations. Check out the museum. They're doing guided tours in there. You can learn more about, really go in depth. This is something that, again, even if you're just a casual Oz fan, you come out and really immerse yourself in it. It's really an incredible story and something that we're very proud of being part of in Wamego.
And hear Hannah Emery sing Over the Rainbow and the Jitterbug, and we're off to see the Wizard and Ding Dong the Witch is Dead.
Yep. All right.
Oztoberfest.com for more information. So we look forward to seeing you on Saturday.
All right. Darren Solden, John Fricke, Hannah Emery, thank you all for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks.
All right. That'll do it for In Focus here today. Stephen, appreciate you producing the efforts for us.